Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
And today I want to finish, the series of distractions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I like that one. You can read from the New Living Translation or whichever one you're reading. You got it? The Bible says like this. In my translation, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you because you are holy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to finish the series on distractions. Why? Because it's impossible for anybody to be that stupid that you have to preach for a whole month about distractions. I think two sermons is quite enough, and two or maybe three, technically. And if you didn't understand it, if you didn't catch it, then, you know, we don't have special ed for Christians or faith. So you got to think a little bit. Amen. It's okay. You can laugh. It's oh my God. Don't be so compassionate. Whenever you were in high school, for those of you that graduated, don't lie. You guys used to make fun of people all the time. So don't feel super, super Christian. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says the following. It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." The reason I'm starting off with this verse is because one of the things that most Christians, when you think about the devil, when you think about Satan, you don't think about him being an angel of light. He is not an angel of light, but he transforms himself as an angel of light. Did you know that one of the most beautiful beings ever created is Satan himself? His name was Lucifer when he was in heaven. If you've read scripture enough, then you know that the devil is not an ugly person. His nature, what the way he was created, he was not ugly. He was the most beautiful being. Now that beauty got to him, and he aspired to be like God. And so he was cast out of heaven into the lake of fire. And now we have what we call the devil, or Satan himself. Now, what's very interesting is that this world depicts Satan as this guy with a pitchfork and all these other things. While he can look very ugly, but he can also transform himself into an angel of light. And what's very interesting is that most Christians forget that Satan himself can transform into an angel of light. And so not every opportunity that comes to you is an opportunity that comes from God. Not every door that's open is a door that's open from God. Not every friendship, not every relationship, not everything that looks good, smells good, tastes good is from God. Why? Because Satan himself can transform into an angel of light. What I'm telling you is that nothing that the devil will offer you is something that you will dislike. It's always something that's going to be appealing to your eyes. It's always going to be something that is appealing to your flesh. It's always going to be something that draws you in, that gets your attention. That's why the devil offers things you like, because he knows your weaknesses. And one of the things that we have to understand in terms of distraction, and we talked about it last week, we talked about Samson. But one of the things that we didn't talk about is that distractions are not always something that is not appealing. They usually come as a need. They'll present themselves as something that is appealing to us. Distractions sometimes look like something that should be a priority. For example, school. For example, homework. For example, work. We talked about these things. Things with family. All of these things. The point of Satan for your life, he has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to distract you. Why? Because if he can distract you, then he can get you to stop fighting. A fighting Christian will always be a threat to Satan. But a Christian who does not fight, a Christian who is preoccupied with other things, is no threat to the devil. And that is the goal of the devil. The goal of the devil is not so much to get you to stop coming to church, although eventually that ends up happening. The goal of the devil for your life is for you to stop fighting. Because the reason people stop fighting is because they stop believing. I'll tell you how it works. You stop believing, so you stop fighting. You stop fighting, you stop going to church. His whole goal isn't, I got to get him to quit. I got to get him to stop going to church. No, his whole goal is for you to stop believing. Why do you think there are people in here that they come, then they don't come? Because sometimes it gets to you. You're like, man, I should probably go to church. Because it makes you feel good. Because it's like, oh, I tengo que servirle a Diosito. You know what people say? I got to get right with God. They'll come, then they stop coming. Why? There's no commitment to God. And those people are never a threat to the devil. But the people that are a threat to the devil are people that have a commitment before God. And they say, you know what? I'm going to advance. No matter what, I'm going to be there. And as soon as you say that, that's when the devil sends an attack upon your life. That's why there are people that are in here that have said that. Man, from now on, I'm getting up. I'm not missing any Sundays. I'm not missing any Wednesdays. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. And as soon as you say that, as soon as you step outside of here, there's a distraction waiting for you. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to fight. Because a fighting Christian is a threat to the devil. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I want to ask you a question. How much is Jesus a priority to you? How much is Jesus a priority to you? Unfortunately, for many people, they will compare their relationship with God to the relationship of their peers. And I'll tell you one thing. Half of the people, this is when I was in school, half of the people that called themselves Christian were not really Christian. They went to church, but they drank. They smoked. They heard secular music. There was never one worship song in their radio station. It was all rap. It was all country. It was all everything else except Christian. But when you compare yourself to a dying Christian, anybody is going to look like they have life. Even if you're sick, you're going to look like you have life. And that's why we do not compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to Scripture. Where is your spiritual life? Where is your relationship with God? And then you will understand why our prayers aren't answered. Then you will understand why it's so difficult for you. You know, there's people, when you hang out with people and you let other people build your relationship before the Lord. And what I mean by that is you let other people tell you what your relationship with God should be like. For example, people will say, it's okay. God understands if you miss a Sunday. He's not going to be upset with you. That's people that serve God according to their own counsel. And what does the Bible say? Don't stop congregating as some people have accustomed to now. It starts with one step at a time. And there's other people that say, oh, it's okay. For example, I was talking to someone and Sergio actually went to a Bible study. I'll share this one first. He went to a Bible study and they invited him. They said, hey, man, we'd love to connect with you, man. You should come. And, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus and we're going to worship, man. You should come. I was like, dude, as soon as they say man like two or three times, they sound like a hippie. That's probably somewhere I don't want to be at. But he went. And so when he got there, they were like, oh, we're just going to watch this movie real quick. You know, we'll get there. Sorry. And so he gets there and he's like, bro, they're watching Harry Potter. And I was like, really? And then he said, I just looked at him and didn't say anything. And then one of them said, oh, are you one of those like Christians? It's like, oh, no, you can't watch Harry Potter. And Sergio said, I don't know any Christian that would say you should watch Harry Potter. He says it's magic. The Bible condemns magic. And so he said, oh, man, it's OK. You know, and they started talking about grace. And so then he said, hey, man, do you have some water? Yeah, help yourself in the fridge. Sergio says he goes to the fridge, opens the fridge, and it's nothing but Coronas. He's like, and these are Christians? And so he saw that. And the guy goes, it's OK, man, help yourself, bro. Jesus isn't going to be mad because you drink one. And when he told me that, I said, dude, are you serious? He said, yeah. And you know the problem is that many of you have friends just like that. It's okay. Jesus is not going to be upset because you take a sip. Jesus is not going to be upset because you take a hit. That's many of your friends. And unfortunately, many people let those people who don't know Jesus build that relationship, build that view of what they think a relationship with Jesus looks like. So then Sergio said, man, they started talking about grace and all these things. This was years ago. He said, I didn't know what to say. I was like, dude, I kind of want to go to that small group. And I kind of want them to talk to me and tell me. Because here's my question. If there's grace for you to drink alcohol, why stop there? Why not? There's grace for you to do cocaine and crystal meth, too. Is it not the same thing? And it makes no sense. So you have to be careful not to let other people build your concept or build your view on your relationship with Jesus. Because that's the first step to distraction. Can you say amen? Amen. So first, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll read this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, there's a story. And many people know this story. I want to encourage you when you get home tonight, read it. Read the whole thing, because I'm just going to go over it very quickly. The Bible says this: in the spring of the year, in the New Living Translation, when kings normally, say with me, normally, go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Where did David stay? In Jerusalem. David stayed behind in Jerusalem. We know this whole story about David and Bathsheba. And we know that there was adultery. She got pregnant. Her husband got murdered. We know that whole story. But I want to go point by point. Why? Because all of this happened for one reason. And it happened because of a distraction. Everybody that's in here has a purpose. Everybody that went to camp got a word, got instruction from the Lord. There is a purpose for your life. If you are a son and daughter of Christ, there is a higher purpose for you to fulfill. And when you stop believing and when you stop fighting, you stop working towards that purpose. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, we see the following, that there was a time where the kings went out to war. There was a season in the year where they went out to war. And this time was normally between March and April. That's when the kings went out to war. That's when the kings were with their army. They left their palace. They left home and they went. However, in this story, we find out that David did not do that. David stayed behind. And when David stayed behind, that led him to a distraction. And what I want you to understand is that David negated his assignment. In other words, he put off his assignment. What he was supposed to do, he did not do. Why? We'll get to that. And when we read this first passage of Scripture, we can learn one of the following things. Number one, that negating your assignment will cause you to comply with distraction. Why? Because David decided not to go. And the Bible says this in the second verse, late one afternoon, because he did not go fight, late one afternoon, after his midday rest, in other words, after his afternoon nap, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. When you negate your assignment in life, when God has asked you to do something, when you know you have to do something, and you put that off for later, and then you put it off for later, then later comes and you put it off again, what ends up happening is that you become numb to the distraction, because distractions are attractive. You become numb to it. I'll tell you what distraction looks like. I think it was yesterday or today, I can't remember. I needed to read Scripture. I know I needed to spend time in Scripture. And so when I was, oh, that was actually yesterday. So when I lay down on my bed to take out my iPad and to start reading, somebody called me and I decided to answer it. But I didn't have to answer it, but I decided to answer it. After I hung up, then I got a text message and I didn't have to answer, but I decided to answer. And then I grabbed the iPad and I started to read. And when I started to read, somebody else called. Did I have to answer? I didn't have to answer, but I decided to answer. Why? Because it's become something normal in my life. Somebody calls me. Oh, they probably need me. You know what ended up happening? What ended up happening is that by the time I was done attending everybody else, I didn't have time to read Scripture. It was time to leave. It was time to go. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I wanted to. It's not like I didn't want to. I wanted to. But I negated my assignment. I put off my assignment to attend other people. That's what distraction looks like. Something as small as that, it becomes so normal. And I said, man, I'm going to answer this person because it's important. I'm going to New York this weekend. I got to answer this person. And there's other things. But What ends up happening is when you prioritize your relationship with Jesus, everything aside from your relationship with Jesus becomes secondary. And so distraction comes in that way. Distraction comes little by little until finally you have no time to read. So then today comes. And then when today came, I went to go work on my house. I came back from working. Then I took a shower. And then I started talking to my parents. I know I had to read. I know I had to study. But I needed to say hi to my parents, right? I mean, it's like I can't just come home, take a shower, and then just ignore them. But then I started talking. And then I came to my senses and I said, you know what? I need to take time to go read scripture. Doesn't matter who calls. Doesn't matter who comes in. Doesn't matter if the dogs are barking. I need to take time to read scripture. Why? You can't allow distraction to rule your life. You can't allow the things that the devil will throw your way. You can't take them as normal. That's why every time that you decide that you're going to pray or fast, especially when you decide you're going to fast, you get hungry. And you get like 10 times hungry and somebody will come offer you something. And I've been there where I say, you know what? This person is not bringing cookies tomorrow. I'll break the fast and I'll eat some cookies and I'll fast tomorrow. And then guess what? Tomorrow comes, somebody else brought cookies. Then I understand, you know what? No, I'm not breaking this fast. And then when you decide to pray, you get sleepy. When you decide to pray, something else comes. Those are called distractions. When you let distractions come between you and your assignment, you're going to end off going in a route that later you'll regret. The problem is our spirit is not awake to realize that it's a distraction. That's why whenever people go to high school, then they go to middle school, or then from high school they go to college or university, you make a group of friends, and guess what? Many times those friends, they become a distraction. Now your relationship isn't where it was. There's a distraction somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with cutting off friends as long as you're going to save your relationship with Jesus. I would much rather get to heaven and say, Lord, a lot of people hated me because I cut them off, but I made it. I'm here. You say amen? Amen. So negating or putting off your assignment will cause you to comply with distraction. Now, why did David comply with his distraction? Why did David put off his assignment? I'll tell you why. When you read the previous chapter, you find out that they went to war and David won. You want to know why David complied? You know, you want to know why David stayed behind this time where kings normally go out to war? The reason was is because in the previous chapter, he had just had victory. He had just obtained victory. What ends up happening for most Christians and most people is you get victory, you get a word, you get satisfied, and you live off of that word and off of that satisfaction, off of that infilling of the Holy Spirit that you got 2-3 weeks ago, and you think that's going to sustain you, and it's not. David thought it was okay to stay back. Why? I just got back from war. We just won. It's okay. And that's the biggest lie of the devil, to think that you're okay because, oh, I prayed last night. Oh, you know what? I got a word. Oh, Henry came and he gave me a word. The prophet came and he gave me a word. Oh, I went to youth camp and it's okay. That's the biggest lie of the devil, for you to live in past victories and past glories. So whatever happened in youth camp, that's gone. That stayed behind. What's happening now? How are you filling yourself up with the word? How are you filling yourself up with the Holy Spirit now, today? What happened yesterday and the victories of yesterday, they stayed behind. You need new victories now. You need to be filled today. If not, you'll think of yourself as okay and as satisfied. And when you think of yourself as someone that's strong enough, because, man, I'm not the same person. I received at youth camp, man, I'm a new person. I'm going to worship my heart out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You start to give yourself permissions that you think are okay because you think you're strong enough and you're not. That's why David stayed behind and he thought it was okay. I have victory. I'm the king. We're winning. Nobody can beat us. It's okay. Everybody else can go. I'm going to negate and put off my responsibility, and I'm going to stay back, and everything's going to be fine. I need to rest. Anyways, I need to rest. I'm the king. I can't be everywhere. And you start reasoning with yourself. And you start thinking, it's okay. Nah, it's fine. I was going to fast, but man, I already fasted last week, 2 weeks ago. I'm okay. And the Bible says that as David is at home and he wakes up from his nap, he looks over to the city and he notices a woman taking a bath. This is where the downfall did not begin, but this is where it took a huge turn. The downfall started when he put off his assignment. And you have to recognize, and you have to learn, you have to learn to recognize the time that you're in. The Bible says, again, that David was resting when he should have been fighting. And you have to learn the moment in your life where you should be fighting spiritually. There's many people, I paid attention. By the way, if you don't have the word that was given to you, it's on Dropbox. Some of you guys have the link. Just ask somebody for the link. Ask one of the youth leaders for the link, and you can find it. It's on there. And the sermons are on there, too. I'll put them on Spotify and Apple Podcasts here shortly so that you guys can listen to them. But you have to learn to recognize the time that you're living in. I listened to a lot of the word that was given to many people. And a lot of it was to fight and fight and believe and fight. But you know what happens? Fighting is not the same as being satisfied. A lot of people got a word and they were satisfied. And then they stopped fighting. Why? Because they thought it was okay because God spoke to them. And if you don't learn to recognize the times that you're living, the devil will come and take away everything that you've gained. Then it becomes easy. I miss one service. I miss another service. I used to sit in the front. Now I sit in the middle. Then some time comes and then you sit in the back. And the next thing you know, you don't come at all. Because it's progressive. When you don't learn the season that you're in, when you don't learn and understand your weaknesses, you'll never understand the distractions that come. You think the devil doesn't know what your desires are? You think the devil doesn't know the desires that are in your heart? You think the devil, half of the desires that are in your heart, they come from the devil. You think he doesn't even know? And that's why you have so much vanity in your youth. Why? Because what you see, that's what you want to be. Why do you think there's so many people that want to be YouTubers? Because they saw it and somebody became a millionaire. So, oh yeah, me too. You're not creative at all. You're boring. Find a career. There was a kid that I used to talk to a long time ago, and he wanted to be an NBA basketball player. And then I was like, dude, you should probably find something else. He said, all right, I want to be a soccer player. I was like, dude, you're terrible at soccer. I'm fat, and I can beat you. I said, find something else. He said, all right, I got it. I said, what? He said, I want to be a football player. I said, dude, we're going from worse to worse to worse. I said, find something else. I said, maybe something that's not sports related. He goes, I know. I said, what? He goes, ESPN. I said, bro, Jesus can't even save you, man. And where was I going with that? I forgot where I was going with that. But learn the season, the time. Learn the times that you're in. Because if you don't understand your weakness, if you don't learn to recognize the things that you struggle with, then distractions will come and you'll never learn to recognize that it's a distraction. You know, there's some guys that when you're young, your hormones are all over the place. So then this girl comes, you're like, that's from God, that's from God. No, it's not. Get your hormones in check first, and then you'll be able to recognize if it's from God or if it's not from God. You have girls that say, oh my gosh, yes, it's God's given me the strength to be disciplined and to have this nice body. And then you go out and you go to Sephora and spend thousands of dollars. And then you want to look nice because you want to feel good. And no, learn to recognize and to fight and battle against the insecurities and love yourself, as the Bible says, the way that God loves you. And then everything else is going to be okay. What I'm telling you is the motives and the reasons as to why you do things in life, they matter. And most people, the motives that they have in their heart all come from a distraction. And that's why I don't want you to get to 25 to 30 years old and say, man, this whole time I could have been doing this instead of this. Does that make sense? Learn to recognize the time that you're in. David was resting when he should have been fighting. I'll tell you guys this quick story and then I'll finish. No, I'm not going to finish. I'm lying. During my whole time, when I was at Christ for the Nations, I had offers to go play at churches, to get paid, to be on staff. He said, oh, we want a drummer like you. Oh, we want somebody that's bilingual like you. Oh, we want this, whatever, blah, 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 X, Y, Z. And does all of that look like a good opportunity? Absolutely. But I learned to recognize the time that I was living. You know what the time I was living in? I didn't have money. And I knew I needed to stay on track. And as long as I stayed on track, God was going to bless me. See, the devil knows your need as well. The devil knows your desire. And his whole purpose is to distract you from you getting to the finish line. And for many people, the distraction looks like an answer from God. Oh my gosh, somebody offered me a position. Did you know I used to go to some church and play for 50, for, I played three songs, two songs, sometimes three. And they used to pay me $50. And it was the easiest song. I wouldn't even practice. I'd just show up because I knew them by memory. We played them so much at CF9. So I'd show up, I'd play, and then I would tell them, so where do I need to sit? Oh, no, you can go home. I was like, you're telling me I can just drive here and then play for 15 to 20 minutes, and you're going to give me $50? They said, yeah. I was like, all right. So I did it for like 2 months. And then I realized this is a distraction. Why? Because I started to become the same way that they were at that church. Then I would go to church on Sundays. I didn't want to sit in the sermon. And I wouldn't practice. And I learned to recognize. You need to learn to recognize the time that you're living in. Learn to fight when you're supposed to fight. Learn to rest when you're supposed to rest. Can you say amen? 2 Samuel in verse 3, in chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says, he sent someone to find out who she was. And he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Number three, distractions will lead you to believe that sin is okay. Say it with me, distractions will lead you to believe that sin is okay. In his distraction, David saw absolutely nothing wrong with taking what was not his. Listen close to what's happening. He sees this woman, and it says, of unusual beauty, taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was. Who is she? And all they said was, that's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. That did not stop David from doing what he did. They told him, she belongs to someone. She has a husband. But because he was distracted, because he put off what he was supposed to be doing, he could not recognize that. And so he thought, because I'm the king and we're in victory, it's okay. And because I'm the king, I don't have to go to war. And because I'm the king, I can take whatever I want with no consequence. And what ends up happening is that when you think you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you start to give yourself permissions and you say, you know what? I don't have to go to prayer. I don't have to go to service. I don't have to worship because I'm prayed up, because I've already worshiped enough. That will lead you to start believing that sin is okay. Distractions will lead you to believe that sin is okay. There are people that before they started hanging out with a certain group of friends, they would not do certain things. They would not talk about certain things. They would not listen to certain type of music. But after you started hanging out with those friends, things began to change. Why? Because distractions will lead you to believe that sin is okay and that God is okay with your sin. That's why there's many people I have friends that profess Christ, but their relationship with the Lord is about as deep as a piece of paper. They don't know anything. Yeah, Jesus died for us, and all they'll talk about is love and grace. Be careful with those. I've said it before. Have I said it to the youth leadership? I've said it to people. Don't fall in love with the mercy side of God. That's what everybody always falls in love with. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. He's so loving. He's so caring. No, God is also a righteous judge. He's a just judge. He's not just one thing. Because God loves, God also hates. People say, God cannot hate. Yes, he can. Because he loves, he hates sin. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, what was the result of all of this? I'll finish this. What was the result of all of this? We see this in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 17. The Bible says, and when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight Uriah the Hittite, was killed along with several other Israelites. One thing led to another. And what was that? Sin. David sinned. He had to cover up that sin with another sin. I'll tell you the story in short. And when you go home, read it in its full detail. David decided not to go to war. He sees a woman. He takes that woman that's not his. He sleeps with that woman. She gets pregnant. So then he calls Uriah from battle, from war, to come home. He comes home. His whole, his desire and what he's hoping for is for him to come home because he's been away. But once he's home, to sleep with his wife. And then because she's already pregnant, to sleep with her and think that that's his son, Uriah's son. And everything is going to be okay and nobody will ever know what happened here. The problem is when Uriah comes home, Uriah doesn't go home. He stays in the palace. He sleeps in the palace. He says, I can't go home while my soldiers, my men are out there fighting. So then David gets him drunk. That's another sin to try to cover up for something else. And then gets him drunk and then he says, go home. He says, I can't go home. So this man never goes and visits his wife. And so then he says, okay, go back and take this letter. So he takes the letter, and back in those days, there was the king's seal, and he couldn't open it until the person who it was addressed to opened it. So then he gets to the battlefield, Joab sees it, and the Bible says that the instruction from David was, go into where the battle is the strongest, and when Uriah is there, place him there, and then take a step back and let him die. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why the Bible says that when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight, Uriah the Hittite was killed along with several of the other Israelites. So what was the result of one distraction? One distraction led to sin that led to another sin to cover up the previous sin. And that caused David a crazy result that he never expected for his life. You want to know what it was? If we go to Samuel chapter 12. Go to chapter 12. And as you're looking for it, verse 27 of chapter 11 says, when the period of mourning was over, David sent for her, Bathsheba, and brought her to the palace. And she became one of his wives. Then she gave birth to a son. This is what the Bible says. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. The Bible tells you all along how God felt about the whole situation. And although our situations, maybe they're not as intense as David's, but there's a way that God feels about what we do. There's a certain way that you can make God feel. You can make God feel happy, content, pleased. You'll have his favor, or you can make God feel displeased, just like David did, because of a distraction. Let me ask you a question. The whole time, do you think David was intentionally trying to kill Uriah from the get-go? No, he didn't want to kill him. That's why he called him. He had this whole plan. When that didn't work, that took him to something else. There are people, and don't become one of these people, that distraction will lead you to sin, and you know you did wrong, and you don't want to do it again. But because you want to cover up what you already did, you have to do something else. And then you have to do something else to cover that one. And then you have to do something else to cover that one. I was talking to a young man who's received a crazy word of prophecy about worshiping Jesus, about being a musician, a worship leader. I mean, it's amazing the things that God told him. Then I asked him, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you come to church? Why don't you go to church? He said, it's not that I don't want to go. And that caught my attention. I said, so what do you mean? He goes, man, it's just Sunday mornings come and then, you know, my kids are running around and this one hasn't showered. And then, you know, I'm hungry. So, we make breakfast. And then before we know it, time got away. Distractions. If you don't have priorities in your life, distractions will rob you of eternal life with God. And you have to be careful of that. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Read this whole story. When you get home, the prophet comes to David and gives him a word. Says, then Nathan, the prophet Nathan, said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, this is what God said regarding the whole situation. I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. What was the intention of God for this man? To give him what? Much more. And then it says, why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. Now this is the result of distraction. This is what God said. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. There is a result that comes with distractions. There is a consequence that comes with distractions. When you read the Old Testament, you find out that his own sons turned against him and they wanted to kill David. His own sons abused their own sisters. There was murder going on. There was all kinds of sin going on. And it was a result of what? One thing, a distraction. That David should have been doing, should have been taking care of his assignment. David should have been doing what he was supposed to do. I want to ask you a question. What is that one thing that God has told you to do? You want me to tell you what God has told us to do? Because I was there. Worship. And there are few of you that are still worshiping with your heart out. There are only a handful of you that are still praying, that are still fighting and believing. And that's why it's necessary for hard times to come. You want me to tell you why? Because you find out who serves God because of emotion and who serves God because of commitment and because of a love to him. That's why hard times come. Because they weed out. They separate people. And there have been people that ask me sometimes, how come I never get invited to go on your trips? How come I never? Because I've seen you worship. When everybody worships, you worship. When you're by yourself, you don't. Because I've seen you pray. And you can't get past the, thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for my mom, my dad. Thank you, Lord, because of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You can tell if people pray when you hear them pray out loud. You can tell. There's a way that people pray. It's kind of like, how can you tell that somebody's in love? You don't know.
Oh, by their actions.
By their actions. Amador, how can you tell somebody's in love? Huh? They blush. He's blushing right now. I see it. the way not only that they look, but their actions, but how they speak, you can tell. And you can tell who truly has a relationship with God by the way they speak to God. You don't have to use all these big words. I don't ever see any of the guys say, my little ray of sunshine, let me tell you something. Nah, you just, hey, baby. Hey, boo. Hey, whatever you call it. Well, I don't know what the terminology is. What do you guys say now?
Pookie.
Man, hey, Pookie. Hey, Pookie. You can tell how because of how there's a way that they address the person they love. So I want to finish off with this. How do you address the God that you profess to love in worship and prayer? So let's stand to our feet. When we have to learn to distinguish, to recognize distractions, because distractions will come at you at all times of your life. One of those distractions for me, I'll give you some examples because some people are still not getting it. And I can tell because it's kind of like, Cane's after? No, maybe Wingstop. Distractions. I had to stop sitting with my group of friends when I went to church. You want to know why? Because there was two guys that liked two girls, and that's all they would talk about. They would write little letters, little notes back and forth, and that's, we didn't have text, so it's little notes, and then back and forth. So I had to stop sitting with them, and I went to go sit with someone else. And you want me to tell you something? They're no longer in the faith. They're no longer Christians. You know who is? This guy right here. And so, well, you don't have to apply. Why? Because you have to learn to recognize distractions. When you come to the house of God, do you come for God or do you come for your friends? Do you come for the presence of God? Do you come hunger? Is your spirit hungry for him? Or do you come because I just want to see everybody else and see how everybody's doing? I want to see that girl. I want to see that boy. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's the opposite sex. If it's the same sex, we need to pray for you and get you delivered. So learn to recognize distractions. Learn to recognize. I remember one time my dad's car broke down right before service. And I asked him, I said, are we still going to church? He looked at me. He said, why wouldn't we go? I was like, because the car's not working. It was the only car we had. He said, yo le puedo llamar a alguien que pase por nosotros. You know what most people would have done? My car broke down. I got to take care of it. And you know what ended up happening? God honors that when it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you to keep you from going into his presence, and you honor God, God honors you. We went to church that day, and the hermano asked him, he said, what happened? He said, oh, the car broke down. He said, oh, okay. So we went to church, and after church, I don't know who this hermano talked to, but there was a mechanic that came to look at it that same night. He couldn't finish fixing it, but then somebody let him borrow a car the next day. He didn't have to worry about a thing. The mechanic came, fixed it. He said, I'm not going to charge you anything. My dad said, no, I got to pay you something. He said, I'm not going to charge you anything. He still gave him something. You know what that's called? Honoring God. He didn't miss work. And most people, your priority is work. Your priority is school. Your priority is homework. Your priority, you don't even have to work, but you're working and you make that a priority. And if you're not careful, those things will begin to distract you from the will of God for your life, from the plan of God for your life. And I don't want you to end up years from now in a place where you thought you would never be at, where you told yourself and you believed you would never be at. The reason I'm here today and the reason I get to travel and the reason I get to preach, the reason I get to do what I love is because I decided not to get distracted. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Lift up your hands and I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for everybody that's here.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.